A very warm welcome to you this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Welcome to everyone joining us online, either now or later on. We're beginning a new series today, as you can see on the screen, looking at Paul's letter to the Colossians, and this morning in particular we're focusing on thanking God for the gospel. So I invite you, please, to stand if you're able and join with me in this collect for purity. Together we pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we come to light the candle for this fourth Sunday of Easter. Would you please be seated for our time of confession. And we remind ourselves of what our Lord Jesus Christ has said when he said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Let's be quiet for a moment as we bring before the Lord perhaps our lack of love for him and our neighbour. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing two songs now. The first is You Chose the Cross with Every Breath, as we keep reminding ourselves of what the Lord has done for us. And then we shall sing Thank You for Saving Me. Please stand. Thank you. Please be seated. We've just sung Your Kingdom Come, and we want to spend a few moments right now talking to you about this. We've got a video. This is an event coming up very soon, from Ascension onwards to Pentecost, Thy Kingdom Come. We've got a video, and then Susan is kindly going to come and explain to us how it works locally. So let's first watch the video.
Thy kingdom come, Lord, teach us how to pray, for all to know your joy, your peace.
This is Pentecost Sunday, and of course we are gathered here in this great cathedral, connected with others around the world.
When we pray Thy Kingdom Come, it's not Thy Kingdom Come with lots of internal borders. It's Thy Kingdom Come. And it belongs to God, and it's His kingdom, and we're all citizens.
We meet on a morning when our country has been struck by a terrorist attack once again. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and we meet in the shadow of these horrifying acts to worship God.
I went back to God in prayer and I said, God, I believe you have called me.
Jesus is always there when you're facing something hard.
In prayer, you tend to start talking quite a lot. Actually, it's more about listening.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Therein is a prayer that God's will and God's dream might be realized in our time and in our lives. God love you. God bless you. And may God hold us all in those almighty hands of love.
My name's Susan. I'm part of the prayer over group, which Dave set up, and it runs between the two churches. And Keith is also a keen member. We put together a programme for Thy Kingdom Come, which, as you can see, is an ecumenical movement. It fills the season between Ascension Day and Pentecost. There are three stands. For individuals, there is a novena and a prayer journal, and you can find this all online, but we have paper copies for you. And Jeff has asked us all to have a copy of each booklet. Now, I looked up the difference between the word novena and prayer journal because I wasn't quite sure. And a novena is an ancient tradition of 9 days of prayer. And it focuses on wait, read, listen, and respond. And the prayer journal, which I have here, is more a book of writings, and then you respond in prayer. One of the writers is Rose Hudson Wilkin, that we saw on the screen. It's also about praying God's kingdom, but it's also about listening. And there are lots of events that you can join in. As well as the services, there's a prayer around the world, a prayer walk. Now, Mike asked me from St. Andrews, what would we like to think about? Because the prayer walk starts from All Saints. And when I started to look at it, there's so much to be grateful for. The schools, the culture, Elgar, the beautiful hills, C.S. Lewis and the gas lamps. There's also craft, there's music, and there's also continuous prayer. This is on the last weekend, the 26th to the 28th of May, and the prayer room is going to be at St. Andrews. You can sign up today. These are the booking forms. We've actually got them a week early, so take advantage of that if you want to. If you can't make the continuous prayer at St. Andrews, please make use of the novena. This is the novena. The booking forms and the books will all be available at the back of church at the end of the service. Just to make sure, because this is the sabbatical time, a season of rest and replenishment, please don't feel that you have to do every activity, sign up for everything. It's very much what you would like to do. So what to do next? You can sign up, you can collect a book, and you can have a think prayerfully about what you'd like to do. There's going to be a newsletter with all the activities listed. This is very much a Chase team initiative, so everyone's more than welcome and is warmly invited. I'd just like to close by saying a short prayer, which is the strapline from the Kingdom Come website. We pray that thy kingdom come, your will be done, praying and living the kingdom empowered by the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Susan. We're now going to open our Bibles and listen to our reading from Colossians as we begin this new series. Thank you very much, Andrew.
The reading is taken from the first book of Colossians. It may be found on page 1183. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and the love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing amongst you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ in our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill in you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, as we look again at these verses and this passage, may it speak to our hearts, may my words be acceptable to you for Jesus' sake. Amen. As you heard, we are at the beginning of a new season of sermons based on the book of Colossians. Of course, those of you with really good memories, much better than mine, will know that we actually had this passage back in February. So if you want a really good sermon on this passage, you look back on the website at our service from the 23rd of February this year and listen to Jeff, who was preaching on that occasion. Actually, I should have just downloaded his bit, and then that would have saved a lot of preparation. At that time, we were actually looking at a slightly different emphasis, and Jeff was linking this passage to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And as some of you will know, Margaret and I use that passage at 7:14 twice a day. Admittedly, sometimes in the evening, if we're going out, we miss the 7:14 in the evening one. 7:14 in the morning is a bit easier. And that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And I guess we know how much healing our land needs. And I guess we also know just how much we need that forgiveness of sins, how much we need to learn to pray more and more. So, as I say, if you want a decent sermon on the topic, just go back to February and download Jeff's. But for this morning, as we're starting to look at Colossians, can I just put it in context? Paul, at the time, was in prison. He was probably in Ephesus, so he couldn't go to Colossae for himself. So he sent Tychicus and possibly Onesimus with this letter and the one that he'd written to Philemon. Now, what would you have written under those circumstances? I suspect my letter would roughly be something like this. Dear friends, please add me to your prayer chain. They've stuck me in prison, although I'm totally innocent, and in this prison, the food and the conditions are absolutely terrible, so please pray that God gets me out of here quickly. Best wishes, Paul. Actually, come to think of it, my prayer would have been a bit different to Paul's as well, because I think I'd have been saying, come on, God, you can get me out of this mess. Get me out of here now. Amen. But you will notice from today's reading that what Paul actually wrote was a bit longer than my letter, and the focus of his prayer was a bit different from mine. You see, my prayer, my focus, tends to be about me. What I need God to do for me. Paul's focus is very different. Paul's focus is on, I want to thank God for you lot out there. perhaps I need to do that. Perhaps I need to think much more. I do thank you for all my friends here at All Saints, down the road at St. Andrew's, within the food bank, across at the Littleton Well, and across Malvern, and indeed in other parts of the country. I thank God for all of you and what you have meant to me. Perhaps my focus needs to change to something like that. Paul was certainly more positive than I think I would have been. So, what struck you as you heard that reading? When I read it through, thinking about this sermon, I wrote down 25 words under 5 different subheadings. So, sit back and relax. No, it's all right. It's all right. We're not going to have the whole lot because I want to get home for lunch as much as you do. So there's Paul in prison thinking, what shall I write? And what he wrote was sometimes just 2 words, in Christ, or Christ in. Homework part 1, go home, read the whole of Colossians. It's right, it's not that long. I'm not asking you to read the whole of Job or anything like that. Read Colossians and just count up how many times Paul writes in Christ or Christ in. Or right at the end of this morning's passage, the kingdom of his Son whom he loves, in whom, if you like, you can count that as your first in Christ. As they say in puzzles, if you get to 15, that's about average. If you manage to find 19, that's good. If you manage to find 23, yes, there are, that's perfect. You see, Paul hopes that his readers, then and now, that includes you and me, he hopes that we are, and he certainly wants us to be, in Christ. I sort of see this in Christ as being something like the top of a ladder. At the bottom of the ladder, there are those people who know about Christ. And we all started there at one point. At one point, we were all there knowing about Christ. And then perhaps something happened, a penny dropped, we heard a good preacher. C.S. Lewis was just sitting on top of a bus and the penny dropped and he became a Christian. So we move from knowing about Christ to knowing Christ, to beginning to form a relationship with him. And perhaps we then became a follower of Christ as we climbed up this ladder. And for some of us, we get to the point where our lives are wrapped up in Christ. Certainly Paul's was. And then we start forming an intimate relationship with Christ. And we've reached perhaps one of the top rungs of the ladder, being in Christ. Unfortunately, if you're anything like me, you know that sometimes you slip down a rung or two. But we can get back up again. And God is always willing to give us a hand up that ladder. Paul heard that his friends at Colossae were there at the top of the ladder, and he wanted them to cement that intimate relationship with him. And so he wrote to them, and he thanked God for them. And he kept on thanking them for their faith. He thanks God for their faith. He thanks God for their steadfastness, their love for one another, and all that's going on there. I guess most of you will know Helen Attree, our children and families worker, and you may know that she has a dog called Leo. At lunchtime, Leo gets a doggy treat. Well, it's a doggy chew. It doesn't look very treatful, and but not for me, but he seems to like it. But before he gets given his doggy treat, Helen will say to him, "Sit." And he does. And then she says, "Paw." And he lifts his paw, and she gets hold of it and gives it a little shake. And then he gets his treat. And I think that's the sort of doggy equivalent of please and thank you. Please and thank you. Can you think back of a time when your parents said to you, "Now say thank you nicely, even if Auntie has given you something you didn't really want"? No. But you know what I mean. Say please, say thank you. Maybe you said that sort of thing to your children. Certainly, Paul knows how to say thank you. And how good are we at saying thank you? Paul says in verse 3 here, we always thank God. You've got to do it all the time. And by the time you get to verse 11, when you are being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. So we are to give thanks always and to give thanks joyfully. Now, if you're already doing that all the time, you are on a completely different plane to me. I'm working on it, but I know that I am a long, long way from doing it. So I keep trying. Specifically, Paul gives thanks that his friends at Colossae have received the gospel. Now, there's something we can do. We can thank God for those we know who have received the gospel. And then we can thank God for the difference that it has made in their lives. And perhaps the difference that they have made in our lives. Thank God that the gospel is out there, is moving in the lives of billions of Christians across the world. And maybe even thousands of Christians in Worcestershire. Dare we say thousands in Malvern? I haven't counted. But lots, and we can pray for it to be thousands, even if it's only hundreds at the moment. I think it'll reach thousands. So, that's the first thing. Thank God for what they've done in their lives. Paul mentions their faith. He mentions their love. He mentions their hope of the future. He mentions the growing spiritual fruit within them. He mentions the grace that they have received and that they show to others. And he thanks God for their faithful ministry. And only then does Paul ask God to give them what they need. Yes, sometimes I will be praying for others that I know, and my prayer roughly goes, God bless them. Amen. Actually, sometimes it's slightly longer. It might be, God, give them peaceful, happy, easy, wealthy lives. Amen. It seems that I have a lot to learn, because what Paul prays is that he wants to thank God and he wants God to give them these things and he wants them to seek God. And God to give them knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and worthy lives that are pleasing to him. He did not ask for them to have easy, wealthy lives. Indeed, he goes on and he prays that they may have strength and endurance and patience. What do we pray for one another? Do you need one or two of those things? The ability to do good works? The ability to bear fruit? The strength and the endurance and the patience? I think I need one or two of those things. So let's pray that God gives us those things. Now, if there are one or two words there that you think, actually, that might be me, then do go to the prayer team at the back after communion or at the end of the service and pray it in. Thank God for what he has already given us. Thank God for the gospel that we have heard. Thank God for what he is already doing in our lives. And thank God for what he will do through us and through our lives this week. Finally, just for today, remember what God has already done for those Christians at Colossae and for us. He has amazingly qualified you and I to inherit his kingdom. Now there's a piece of good news gospel. We are qualified to inherit the kingdom. He has brought us into his kingdom of light. He has rescued us from darkness. He has brought you and me into Jesus' kingdom. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. In fact, we have a gospel and we have a lot to thank God for. So, dear God, thank you for all that you have given to us. Thank you for the gospel that has reached us down the centuries. Thank you for those we know whose lives have been changed by knowing you. And dear God, please give us the strength, the endurance, the patience for all those things which will meet us and with which we will be faced in the days and the weeks ahead. And as we read through Colossians, help us to remember just what it all meant for Paul to write to them from his prison cell. Amen.
We're going to continue in prayer as Paul comes to lead our intercessions.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We give thanks this morning that we are part of your worldwide church, worshipping this morning, and that the gospel has indeed grown throughout the world and is bearing fruit. We give thanks that we live in a country where we can worship freely and without fear, and ask you to bless and protect those who will worship today at a risk to their own lives and those of their families. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Chase team, and particularly those in St. Mary's, who are considering the future of their parish. We pray that they will hear your will for their church. And we pray for Dave, our rector, as he embarks on his sabbatical. We pray that he'll be refreshed and renewed and draw closer to you. And we ask you to bless Alice, Josh and Eleanor, and pray that the whole family will enjoy special times in the next 3 months. And we pray for our church families and those who lead us during the sabbatical. May we grow in the knowledge of you, discern your will, be strengthened with all power, and be blessed with wisdom and understanding from the Holy Spirit to help you to build your kingdom here in Malvern and in our parishes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your healing in a broken world. This week we have seen in Sudan how rapidly society and humanity can crumble due to the selfish desires of individuals seeking power over others. In Ukraine, missiles continue to fall on apartment blocks in an attempt to terrorize those who refuse to be subjugated by a dictator. People are thrown into jail or so-called education centers because they have the wrong religion or ethnicity or dare to challenge those in power. Hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of innocent people suffer because of the aggression of a few and their followers. And we continue to pollute and degrade the world at risk of our own demise. The world you created cries out in pain. We pray for healing in your world, Lord. We pray for peace where there is war and conflict. We pray for compassion and humanity where there is hatred and violence. And we thank you for the hope we have in you, that the love you have for us will conquer all and rescue us from the dominion of darkness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those who lead our own country. And as we go to the polls this week for local elections, we pray that those candidates that you want to be elected may be successful, and that they will bring integrity, honesty, and wisdom to the running of our town, district, and county councils. And we thank you, Lord, that we live in a country where we have the freedom to vote and where freedom of speech is treasured. Help us to realise how lucky we are and to use our votes and our voices wisely. And we pray for King Charles and Camilla the Queen Consort as they prepare for the coronation next Saturday. We pray for all those involved in the ceremony and the events happening over the weekend, that it will be an opportunity for churches to connect with their communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for our communities. We pray that the strikes in the health service and education will be brought to an end and not escalate. It is not fair that our children and those who are sick should suffer because unions and government are unable to settle their differences. And we pray for a new spirit of compromise on both sides to bring a fair resolution to the impasse. And as the cost of living continues to rise, we pray for those who are struggling to make ends meet and who are desperate to work out how they can care for their families. We ask you to bless those who work to ease the plight of others, for those who operate and serve in food banks, for those who work in Christians Against Poverty, especially Denise and Kat in our area, and for all those who simply offer a hand of friendship to those who feel abandoned. Help each of us to live out your gospel of love to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those who are sick or receiving treatment, or for those recovering for treatment, and for any for our church family who are physically unable to come to church, particularly holding Frank, Shirley, Janice and Sheila up to this morning. And we pray for Shirley as she continues her treatment and for Derek and the family as they support her. And for Janet too, as she prepares for her operation, and pray that for both of them the treatment will continue smoothly without interruption and be successful. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you in our hearts those known only to us who are in need of your healing and love. Bless all who are anxious or distressed. Comfort and relieve them in their need, and bring good out of their troubles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we say together, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand so we can share the peace together? The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, Peace be with you. Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's just turn to one another and bless one another with the peace. Do take a seat for a moment as I read out some bands of marriage. Couple getting married quite soon. I published the bands of marriage between Harry Grant Checkley of this parish and Jessica Lucy McGoldrick of Wootton St. Mary Without. And this is for the first time of asking. If anybody knows any reason in law why these persons may not marry, please would you tell me about it. Now Ken has a quick notice about something that's happening next weekend.
Normally when I'm addressing a crowd, I start with question one. Question one is, what's happening next Sunday?
Coronation.
Coronation's on Saturday. There is a lunch in the village hall at 1 o'clock on the Sunday. It's part of the Eden Project's big national lunch. And apart from us, hopefully us, there will be members of the Methodist Chapel in Upper Welland, St. Wolston's Catholic Church and Little Malvern Priory, all gathering together for a bring and share lunch together with others locally in the community. If you'd like any further information, please talk to me afterwards. But basically, it's turn up with food and eat and talk. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ken. Can I just say how wonderful it is to see Shirley sitting at the back there? It's great to see her back in church after a long time. We're going to sing our communion hymn, Meekness and Majesty. Let's stand.
Thank you.
sit or kneel for our communion prayer this morning. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Almighty God, good Father to us all, your face is turned towards your world. In love, you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home, to the city where angels sing your praise. We join with them in heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. The crowds came out to see your Son, yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took the bread and gave thanks, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you." Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup, gave it, and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free, defying death. He rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. Send your Spirit on us now, that by these gifts we may feed on Christ with opened eyes and hearts on fire. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Together we say, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. So we come to our final hymn, Amazing Grace, but this is the modern version of Amazing Grace. Let's stand to close our service together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will accept these gifts as a token of our love for you in Jesus Christ. Amen. We sit for the blessing. Just before the blessing, I'd like to make a couple of other notices that have been deposited on my lectern here. There's a men's breakfast on the 6th of May at 8:30. There's a course at St Andrew's in the evenings called Prophetic Lifestyle, if you want to go along there at 6 o'clock to St Andrew's. And the coronation weekend, there's open house on the 6th of May at 9 a.m. or from 9 a.m. at Garford Grange. And there's another notice, and I can't read the writing. Sorry, is this your writing, Andy? Okay, thanks, Andy. I can read the rest, but just that one. Let's pray. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.